In today's Mishnah, we'll learn the third and fourth Mishnah from the fifth parak of Masechta Gittin. In yesterday's Mishnah, we learned about the concept of collecting funds from Nechasim Meshubadim, so property that has a lien on them. In yesterday's Mishnah, we discussed in the context of a loan. So, if someone borrowed money from somebody else, and then is unable to pay back the loan, then what the lender can do is, if the borrower has absolutely no property, no land, then he's able to collect lands that the borrower did own at the time of the loan, but then sold to other individuals. In other words, he's able to collect from the purchasers. That was an example of collecting money from Nechasim Meshubadim. In the following mission, we learn about a number of cases where those funds can't be collected from Nechasim Meshubadim, the money that is owed. We'll see those examples individually, one by one. The reason for that is because, unlike a loan, the sum of money that could be due in these cases, it has no fixed value. So therefore, mipnei tikkun olam, they prevent the money that's due to them to be collected from the nechasim hashem. So let's go through them one by one. The first is ein motzin la'achilat peyot u'lishvach karkot. So according to the Batanura, this is another explanation, sikati for that, but according to the Batanura, he explains that this is a case where someone stole land from somebody else and then onsold that land. And the purchaser, what he's done, he's planted, he's developed the land, he's worked it, and he's spent money to do so. And as a result, the land's improved in value. Along comes the original owner and wants to reclaim his land that was stolen from him. So firstly, he goes to the purchaser and says, well, give me back my land, and he will pay him back for any of the expenses the purchaser has invested and put into the land. However, there's been an improvement to the land, there's been other things, there's been payrot that has been produced. For example, the land grew some fruit, and now this original owner is now retrieving the land and saying it's all his. So this person who purchased it, well, he can clearly go and collect the money he's paid for the land originally from the thief. He'll be able to retrieve that legally, but what about this, the payrot, or the increase in value of the land? What's improvement of land? For example, he's planted trees, things like that. So in that case, because again, it could be, again, no fixed value to that, then that cannot be collected from Nechasim Meshubadim, from the thief. And the next case that are listed is also Limzon Ha'isha Va'abanot Menechasim Meshubadim. So part of the Tnai in the Ketubah is a woman will be supported in the event of the husband has passed away from the estate, also the daughters as well. We learned about that all back in Ketubah. And in this context, since she could be living off the estate for many, many, many years, in that situation, once again, the money can only be collected to support her from Nechasim B'nei Churim, meaning property that is readily available within the estate, and not the property that had been sold and is in the hands of other purchasers from the time that the Ketubah was written. Let's continue. And that is all Mipnei Tikkun Olam, as I explained. V'hamotzi metziya lo yishava Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So if someone finds a lost object among the individual and returns it, a common example would be the person finds a wallet, sees a driver's license, and returns it to the original owner. Mishnah says he doesn't have to lo yishava. He doesn't have to swear that when he found the wallet, it was empty. I mean, the person may have, when he lost the wallet, may have had a wad of cash in it. So Mishnah says that is mipnei tikkun olam. The fact that the person returning it doesn't have to make a shvua that what he's returning is exactly how he found it. That is because if we started obligating people who found lost objects to make a shvua, that would be a deterrent. And people say, look, I don't want to have the headache of making a shvua in Beit Din. A shvua is considered a very serious thing, so I'm not going to touch this wallet. So mipnei tikkun olam, although the people return lost objects, they said, look, if you return a lost object, you don't have to make a shvua that what you're returning is what you found. Let's now learn Mishnah Dalet. Yatomim shesamchu etzal balabayit, or shemina lehem avihim apotropos, chayv laaser parotehem. So the first law is that if a yatomim are relying on a balabayit or an apotropos, a custodian has been nominated by their father before the father passed away, then they have to lahafrish, they have to separate trumot umasrot for the yatomim. That's clearly because the yatomim, these orphans, cannot eat tevel. So that's the response that he's placing these individuals. So what we're going to learn about is the next case, which is Mipnei Tikkun Olam, related to the case of Yatomim, and that is as follows. Apotropos Shiminahu Avi Yatomim Yishava, Minahu Beitin Lo Yishava. So here we're referring to an apotropos again that has been nominated by, first cases, by the father. In that situation, the apotropos would have to swear that he hasn't taken any of the property within the estate for himself. He hasn't, like, shaved off a bit for himself. Again, previously we've said that even without a claim, in certain contexts, we can say that since people have a sense of entitlement, that they might, you know, end up taking a few things for themselves, so that we can, even without a solid claim, we can say, we'd like you to make a shvua. What the Mishnah is saying now, if the father nominated this apotropos, the apotropos will have to make a shvu at the end saying, look, he hasn't taken anything. However, minahu beitin, if the beitin nominated this apotropos, then lo yishava. Then he wouldn't have to make a shvu. What's the difference? The difference is that since the apotropos nominated by beitin doesn't get any benefits, if he is then required to make a shvua as well, then no one's really going to want to take the job of being an apotropos, because other than having the responsibility, then you also have this serious concept of making shvua at the end of it. However, the difference is if it's nominated by the father, clearly there's some sort of relationship there, and the fact that the father selected him and he's willing to do it must mean there's some sort of, he's getting some sort of tovat hana'a. So having the shvua dangling it, if you like, at the end will not be a deterrent to take the job. However, Abba Shaul says completely the other way around. He says chiluf advarim, meaning if the father asks this person to be the apotropos or nominating before he passed away, then the individual is doing so just, if you like, as a chesed for the father. And he's almost like has an emotional connection, or he just wants to help him out. Therefore, in that context, we don't have any deterrence that suddenly I have to make a shvua. However, if he's nominated by Beit Din to do so, and now it's becoming to known that the Beit Din has considered this person a trustworthy person in the community, well, that's already considered quite a benefit. And therefore, the fact that he might have to make a shvua at the end is not considered a deterrent, and many people would, if you like, jump at the opportunity to be considered within the community as a trustworthy individual. Let's continue. It says, Hametameh v'hamedameh v'hamanasech b'shogig patur b'meizid chayev. So you're referring to if someone causes someone's tahor object, for example, truma, to become tameh, or hamedamea, that's if he mixes in truma, a significant portion of truma, to chulin, and makes a whole mixture of meduma. If you remember there, we said since that there's too much of a quantity, it's more than 1 in 100, that you'd have to sell the whole mixture to a kohen at the lower rate, minus a truma component in it. Why is it a lower rate? Because only kohenim can eat it, a smaller market. V'amenasech, if someone mixes in yayin nesech, yayin is used for avodah zarah, which is asur, with somebody else's wine, makes it asur. In all these situations, we say if it's b'shogeg, then if the person did it by mistake, meaning he thought that it wouldn't make it asur, or didn't know it was yayin nesech, then we say he's patur, the person does so, he doesn't have to pay. However, if he did so b'mezid, deliberately, then we say the individual would be chayev. Now this is by way of a takana. Why? Because if one person makes another person's truma tameh, the hezek, the damage, is not nikar. It's not discernible, it's not recognizable, the damage. It's, if you like, a halachic or a spiritual change in it, to a mentara change. That's why really mikodin bipatur. However, mipnei tikkun olam, once again, there's another takana mipnei tikkun olam, the chachamim said, if someone does this deliberately, we make him chayiv anyway. Similarly, it says, hakohen shepiglu b'mikdash. This refers to the issue of pigul. That is, if when a kohen does one of the four avodas, for example, he shechts the korban, or he does rikat adam of the korban. Actually, we learned this recently in Daf Yomi, and he does so with in mind to, say, either eat parts of the korban to be eaten outside the allotted time, or off the korban beyond the allotted time. Then it makes a whole korban pigul, which is if someone eats it, it's punishable by karat. Effectively, the korban's, if you like, pasul. In that situation, once again, we say if he does it b'mezid, this coin deliberately, then he's chayv to pay him back. Now, the interesting point here is, Kati mentions at the end, that this is even if it's, for example, korban nadava, meaning this is a voluntary korban, that even if something happens to it, he won't have to bring a replacement. For example, he says, the person says, this particular animal I want to bring as a korban. So despite the fact he's really caused him no loss because the owner doesn't have to bring a replacement animal, nonetheless, Chachamim says if the Chohen does it b'mezid, he would have to pay him back. Because still, the person wanted to bring a gift to the Beis HaMikdash as a form of a korban, a voluntary korban, and the Chohen has passed it. Again, Mikar Adin, he wouldn't be chayev, but again, it sounds seems to be here, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, that the Chachamim say you are chayev. And those are the Mishnah today.